I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my career, and we're going to talk a little bit about React, and I want you to ask questions, right? The questions that maybe you were always scared to ask somebody before, right? So let's just have a really open conversation, because the goal would be that if each of you walks out of here with just one tidbit, it will have been a successful hour, okay? So when we think about music, just real quick, so it generates emotion, right? So this song, right, it's like, and several of my team members are here. I told them that they needed to go listen to somebody else because they always have to listen to me. But I love them, right, because they're like, no, we're coming. So, yeah, so they'll tell you whether I'm making any of this stuff up or not. But we use music a lot, okay? And when we think about having really strong teams, employee engagement, music can really elicit responses from your team. This song, not something I'd use at a sales rally, right? It's like the music before lunch today. I was like, it's dark and cold in there. I'm kind of getting a little sleepy. Whereas, right? I know. That's what I'm talking about. We're gonna have a little energy right now to bring us all back from lunch. Now, versus this song. Like, you see what's happening right here? They're having an emotional reaction to the song. Because we do the Cupid Shuffle a lot. Right. We did it this morning for Mel Robbins because she's like, Donna, do you have some music? I'm like, hell yeah, we got music. Right? And we had some energy going, right, with the Cupid Shuffle. And the whole team is well rehearsed, well practiced. And we taught a lot of other people how to do the Cupid Shuffle too today. So that's why I was so trying to get the music to work, because music can set the tone for the meeting. Whatever you're going to do, music can set the tone for it. So this kind of like get your groove on, like high energy thing, okay? That's the way I want us to be today for the next hour, all right? All right. So enough about that. I love music. So, all right. My name's Donna. It's spelled weird. It's kind of like Hooked on Phonics. Donna. I always tell people that my parents actually created Hooked on Phonics, and they're like, oh my God, like, why are you working? It's like, just kidding. I'm joking. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself so you kind of know my history. Then we're going to talk about React, and then I'm going to share with you just a few other, so those of you that have seen me with my little cheat sheets, I wrote these, I had some pieces of paper. I spoke to a young group of retail employees at AT&T, and I didn't know I was speaking to them, and I wrote down a few notes. Well, I keep adding to them, and I keep them with me at all times, because they're like little tidbits of truth, and then I'm going to share those with you, okay? So I grew up in South Texas, a little town called Victoria. Anybody know Victoria? Because I did the microphone in there. It let me know my button's unbuttoned. I want my belly hanging. Who's from Victoria? Yeah? Wow, a couple of folks from Victoria. I find that somebody, they either have been through Victoria or they know someone from Victoria. So I grew up in Victoria. My father, he's no longer like this. So if anybody repeats this, if you ever run into him, I'll deny it. Total male chauvinist. Serious. To everybody except me. But I'll give you an example. At dinner, he would sit there, and when he needed his glass refilled, he would shake it. And my mother would get up and go fill it. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm never going to do that. Man or woman, doesn't matter. Not gonna happen. But with me, he didn't treat me like that. For some reason, with me, it was, you can do everything. You can do everything, you can be anything, you can be the best, and he wanted me to try everything. The problem was that he wanted me to be the best at everything that I tried. And so it was just a little bit of pressure, a little bit of pressure. So like I learned how to fly planes when I was 16. So, and because he wanted to fly planes. So we flew planes together. Then it became, everything was a competition, right? So I soloed before him, but he started before me, but I soloed before him. So it was always a competition, right? But that's okay. That's okay, because I learned a lot from that. There's not a whole lot of folks that can fly planes at 16. Girls, right? He also taught me to shoot. So in business, I've had an opportunity to go on several hunts, and I can outshoot them men. And I'm thankful that my dad taught me to do that, right? He's like, you got to learn how to play golf. Now, I'm not a very good golfer. And now that I'm getting old, it kind of hurts. But at least I learned how to do that, okay? So just a few stories to say, as much as you can early on, or even later on, branch out so you have something to talk about when you're interacting with people, okay? I have a little brother. He just had his first baby. I'm now an auntie. Her name's Harper. I love her. I will buy her anything she wants. Seriously. Little handmade Lou Casey boots. So the other thing my dad taught me that I'm really thankful for, really early on, there's just things that you always remember, right? When you're growing up, I'm sure you can all imagine something that your parents told you. Two things that I remember very vividly, in addition to the stories I just told you. He's like, never charge stuff on your credit card that you can't pay for in full. I learned that when I was about 10 or 11. And I've never not paid my credit card bill in full, ever. And it'll get to some of the secrets that I think are really important for women from being financially successful and some little tricks we'll talk about. But that was one of them, and I'm so thankful that he told me that because it's helped me. Because once you're financially secure, if you get unhappy with whatever it is that you're doing, you go do something else because you're not relying on the paycheck to support your family, right? That was one really vivid thing. The other really vivid thing, I'm fourth generation telephone company. Doesn't happen a whole lot anymore. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my dad all worked for the phone company. Let me tell you something, we're not my grandpa or my great-grandpa or my dad's phone company anymore, right? And especially for women. It was very hard if you were a female four generations ago to work at the phone company. It's not like that anymore. These gals that are here, right, top leaders in our business, young in their career, right, I know all of them very well because the phone company isn't the same old phone company anymore. But he used to take me down to the old phone company building. And if you've ever been in one, they all smell the same. They all stink. And I remember him being so friendly to the janitor because we were in there on a Saturday. And I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? Does he work for you? No, he's the janitor. But you know what? You be nice to everybody. You treat everybody the same regardless of level, regardless of their job, regardless of whatever they do, you treat everybody right. And I was, again, so thankful for that because I remember it like it was yesterday, and it's a really important part of team building. And doing well in your career, period. Okay? So I ended up graduating, left Victoria, went to Texas A&M. Any Aggies? Whoop! All right, class of 93. Got to meet Rick Perry last night. He's like, you're young enough to be my daughter. I graduated 21 years before you did. But I went to Texas A&M, and I thought I was going to be a vet. And then I thought I was going to be a lawyer. And I ended up working full-time. I ran some private dormitories, apartments, and I got involved in a band, and I became really active on campus. I was a student senator and a student regent, and I about killed myself. I was working full-time as well because it paid for my room and board. But I ended up working all through college, and I did end up having to quit the band because I was like, look, something's got to give, and the school thing's kind of important, and the work thing's kind of important. So otherwise, I might have ended up being able to play in Austin. But no, I quit the band. I'm not a quitter, but I did because I was, like, losing my freaking mind. But I worked full-time and graduated in 4 years. I ended up saying, why in the world would I go to law school? The lawyers are working for me right now. So I went political science. Go figure, right? But I ended up in sales and marketing. Sales and marketing, running these properties in College Station, making pretty decent money. 2 years after I graduated, I was still there, still making pretty decent money. But I was buying everyone's beer. I was buying everyone's beer and chicken wings, and I thought, I've got to make a change. I don't want to work for the phone company, but just for a few minutes. Just a few minutes, I can do it as I figure out what I want to do. So I went to take a test, and I got into what is a leadership development program at the company. That was 18 freaking years ago. The little minute turned into 18 years. My first job was in Midland, Texas. Anybody from Midland? Yeah? Midland Slodetha, we called it. Hey, I love the people in Midland. I drank more beer and ate more barbecue in Midland, Texas than ever before in my life. Now, back then, the coolest phones were in bags. Our wireless phones were in bags. You remember that? Do y'all remember when the Motorola StarTech launched? And it was like $650,000 or something, but if you had one, you were like, I'm going to cuss, the shit. Right? So it was really interesting being out there, and my first day on the job, right? My first day on the job, I had long blonde hair. I show up, I bought this cute little sleeveless shirt, cute little sandals. Serious. Any story I tell you today, I promise, is the truth. My boss calls me in at the end of the first day of work. And this is an important lesson. When you interact with people, especially if they're on your team, regardless of how many levels below, they will remember what you say. They are very impressionable. So my director calls me in, and I'm like, she is going to tell me what a great job I did on my first day and how thankful they are that they hired me here at the company. That's not what happened. Here's what happened. She's like, Donna, I want to talk to you about three things. First, you will always wear a sleeved shirt at work. Second, you will always wear pantyhose. And third, cut that blonde hair. You look like a college beach bum. So, see my hose, see my hair, and see my sleeves? 18 years ago. The point is, be careful how you talk to people on your team. Treat them with respect. They will listen to every word that you say, and they will take it to heart. Right? Now, I'm really not that insecure. I mean, I wear this because I want to. Right? May not be the coolest person, but so she hasn't had that emotional kind of impact. One time I was telling that story, and I was like, Donna, you need to really let that go. I'm like, no, I'm really okay. I'm okay here. I got this. So I was there for a year, and then I got transferred from Midland to San Antonio for the first time. And I was bebopping in there at about 24 years old into a union environment, loading out and installing, we call it POTS, Plano Telephone Service, landlines. The youngest person there had about 25 years of service. Exactly. They were like, who's that? And she's our boss? Are you freaking kidding me? Okay, another challenging environment that we can all learn a lesson from. Humility. If I had gone bebopping in there talking about how I'm going to change the way they do things and make it better, what would have happened? Disaster. Total disaster. But instead what happened, I had to show up there at 4 o'clock in the morning, work till midnight because those were the way the shifts worked, and show them that I was there for them and that I was wanted to learn from them. Right? I wasn't there to tell them anything about how they do their jobs. I was going to learn from them. It took me about 60 days. About 60 days before I finally got invited to the first Friday potluck. And I knew I was in. I was totally in. So that was a great, great job. And actually, I still am in touch with several of those gals today. Most of them are now retired. And then I got the call. They're like, we want you to go to corporate headquarters, which was in San Antonio at the time. And we want you to work on the merger. We merged with Pacific Bell. And we want you to be in finance. I'm like, finance? Are you kidding me? I'm a poli-sci major. I don't know anything about finance. But there I go, right? Go over there. And everybody in the whole room, the whole office, has their CPA. My nickname, because I was in the leadership program, it was LDP, Leadership Development Program, Little Dumb Person. Again, you can't make this up. That's what they called me. And in front of me. It wasn't even, I mean, they whispered behind my back too, but I could hear them because we were all in cubes. No invites to lunch. And stuck me in this little cube where I could hear them making fun of me. I'm like, I'll be damned if I'm going to let this happen. So I went to night school. I went to night school to get my MBA at St. Mary's in San Antonio. Right? And things finally got better. Right? I started to kind of know what I was talking about a little bit. MBA classes actually really helped. The company paid for it, by the way, which was awesome. And I ended up getting promoted in finance. I'm like, oh no, I'm totally going to get stuck in this environment. They promoted me. They own me. I have to get out. So we have lots of different organizations at AT&T that you can become really actively involved with. We call them employee resource groups. It helps from an employee engagement perspective. I became very active in the women's, Southwestern Bell at the time, women's employee resource group. And within a couple of months, I was nominated or voted to be an officer in the organization. One of the other officers in the organization was an admin for the president of our international organization. So we have a way you can go online and search for jobs. My mom was in town. I just bought my very first home, and I was showing her how we look for jobs. And guess what popped up? A bunch of jobs in Switzerland. I'm like, Switzerland, where's that? Sweden? No, Switzerland. Zurich. I'm like, that sounds good. So I went in the next week, and I'm like, Ray, tell me about those jobs in Switzerland. She's like, yeah, we're going to build a wireless company. They had a monopoly on their telecom in Switzerland at the time. You interested? Yes. Send me your resume. Right? So I sent her my resume. That afternoon, I had an interview with her boss, the president of International. 2 weeks later, guess where I was living? Zurich! Zurich! Right? 6-month assignment that turned into 2.5 years. Now, when we think about the way technology is progressing and how it's so important for each and every one of you to stay up with technology because it's moving faster than the speed of light. The iPad didn't exist 3 years ago. Think about that. Think about that. Technology's moving fast, right? In Switzerland, you had to wait 7 to 10 days to get a cell phone when you ordered it. Say what? My job was to change that. We built a system to do it in 2 to 3 minutes. Change the industry, okay? Change the industry. I was there 2.5 years. My Spanish got all jacked up because I have a minor in Spanish. Learned to speak really good German. Now I can't anymore. Got transferred back to the U.S. to Dallas, and I was in charge of national prepaid. Fairly boring job, but it was really important at the time, and I met a lot of people, okay? And then I got the call. I was only home back in the States 6 months. Got the call. We need you to move to Atlanta. We're forming a company called Singular Wireless. You guys remember Singular, right? The little jack guy? Yep. I'm like, I'm not moving. I just got back to Texas. I love Shinerbach, and it's on tap everywhere. But I did. I moved to Atlanta. I was there 4 years. At the time, so in Europe, we were texting like crazy. Back home, people were like, what's SMS? What's text messaging? So it was just the start of it. My first job back was to figure out how to pay for stuff with your phone. We couldn't figure out how to make the Coke bottles, you know, buy a Coke and pay for your parking, but we could figure out downloadable ringtones. We built the first downloadable ringtones. It was those monotone, you know, dun, 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 right? And that was like really cool. Downloadable ringtones and games. So a variety of other different projects, and then we bought AT&T Wireless. So what happens? Well, first of all, I was asked to rebrand AT&T to Singular. We know what happened with that. Oh, God. Exactly. I love the oh gods up here. Oh God, exactly. So then I got the call and they're like, we need you to move to Seattle. I'm like, oh God, no. No, I am not moving to Seattle. The sun does not come out up there, and it's really freaking expensive. I did. I moved, and I was there. After about the first year, I'm like, you guys got to get me out of here, because it really is. I mean, it's a beautiful place for 6 weeks in the summer. The rest of the time, if you're from the South, you need the sun, and it's like, my boss said, buy a sun lamp. 2.5 years, right? 2.5 years. I get the call. San Antonio. Back in the landline side of the business, a little bit of a promotion. At this point, I'm like if you guys have levels at work, but I'm like at a level 4 now, okay? Which is pretty good. It's pretty good. Nobody in my family had made it to level 4. My dad made it to level 3. So I'm like, I wish my grandpa was still around because he'd be so freaking proud, right? He was so happy when I made it to 3. Oh, I can't believe you're your director. Anyway. So I got the call. I moved back to San Antonio, and I did that for about a year. And then the guy that I had worked with in the West calls me up. You guys ever heard of a product called UVerse? Yeah. Okay, it was just starting out. And he's like, I want you to move back to Atlanta, and I want you to run it for the nation. Baby product, right? I'm like, yeah, cool, right? Showtime, Dexter, loving it, right? So I ran the marketing for UVerse when it was just starting out. And it was really, really cool. So I did that for 2 years. And another person I'd worked with in the past, what happens, right? I get the call. I get the call. She's like, she has a real funky accent. Donna, I want you to come run a bunch of call centers. 25 of them around the world. Will you do that? I'm like, I got this UVerse gig going on. I'm totally happy. I'm working with Showtime. I know I'm going to be on Dexter. I know that I'm going to get to be on Dexter. It's just a matter of days. But I love her, right? And she was great for me in my past career. And I'm like, yes, I'll do it. So I got to go to the Philippines. Probably not a place that I'd, well, bless their hearts. They're having a really hard time right now. So Philippines, Monterey. That's a whole other story about how I had to have bodyguards because they truly thought I was going to get murdered. And then places like Little Rock, Tulsa. So 25 call centers around the world, okay? One story when we think about teams and engaging your team. My first visit to Little Rock, Arkansas call center. I pull up. Now, I live in Atlanta, and I have a parking spot at the Little Rock, exactly, the Little Rock, Arkansas call center. I have a parking spot. I'm like, why do I have a parking spot? Ooh, because you're the AVP, Assistant Vice President. It's like a 4.5. I'm like, I don't need a parking spot. And by the time I leave here, that parking spot and all the other reserved parking spots for the 3s and above need to be gone. And we're going to replace them with rep of the month parking spots. The top reps of the month can park in the parking spots. The rest of us yahoos can walk. Right? They got those damn signs pulled up. It took them more than a day. It took them 2. Next thing that happens, I walk in. Guess what's on the wall? My picture. I'm like, why is my picture on the wall? Well, because we want to be able to see you, and you know, you're our leader. No, take the picture down. We put up team pictures. We took group pictures that day, right? I sat on the floor with those reps, and we took calls for hours and hours, and we all took pictures together, and we put those pictures on the wall, right? That's what I'm talking about. Not hierarchical. Not you're a 5, you're a 4, you're a 3, but you're one team. You're one team, and you prove it by your actions, right? Sometimes we talk a big talk, but we don't actually walk the walk. You got to walk the walk with these guys, and when you do, you're like the Pied Piper. They'll do anything for you, right? And you would do anything for them. So that was the call center job. And then I'm down in the Dominican Republic. I'd just gotten there for a 3-day weekend. I just opened my, are you from there? Love it. Love it. I just opened my first beer. And it was cold. I don't remember now because of what happened next. Well, it's not like that. I opened the beer, and my phone's ringing. I'm getting emails and text messages from a guy that was a level 5 when I was a level 4 in Seattle. And I'd do anything for him. He's like, I have a problem. I need you to come help me out. So I called him, right? I'm like, hey, just so you know, I just opened my first beer. I'm in the Dominican Republic. So it was the call to move back to San Antonio to run the market for South Texas as a 5. Woo-hoo. Right? So I'm like, hell yeah, right? How fast can I get home as a 5? Oh, my grandpa would be so proud. And I got to meet all these guys. And I ran all the stores in South Texas for the last year and a half. Okay? Best job in the world. And you guys, you should know those retail teams, when you come in, they truly want to deliver a great customer experience, especially down here in South Texas. So year and 4 months. Now, the job that I had when I talked to the admin about the Switzerland job, my level 5 at the time is our current chairman of the board. Okay? His name's Randall Stevenson. Year and 4 months into the best job I've ever had in my career, I get the call. This time, it's Randall. It's Randall. And I'm like, my assistant about fell out of her chair. Actually, she did fall out of her chair because she stood up and was like, is Randall on the phone? Right? But he's just a good old guy, right? He's like, we want you to go to Austin. So I'm in the middle of moving to Austin as we speak. Yay. Yes, I love it. I totally love it. And if you haven't heard about a little product called Gigapower, you will. Okay, well, okay. Accosting is not a good thing, but hopefully you've heard about it because I'll tell you what, Austin's the first city where we're rolling out 1 gigabit fiber to the home. Sweet, right? I have 24 meg at my home in San Antonio. This is 1,000 megabit. Whoa. Amazing, right? And Austin's the city. What all can we do with 1,000 megabit? I don't even think we know. I swear we're going to figure out how to teleport people between cities. Do what? You can watch a lot of Dexter. You can watch a lot of Dexter on a technology called Ultra HD, which is the next level of HD, if you haven't heard about it. Again, and I'm telling you probably more detail about this than you care to hear about, because you got to stay up on technology, right? Especially as women. Because the male counterparts, they're kind of into it, just naturally into it. So stay up with technology, because products like this, products like our tablets, and as I mentioned, they didn't exist before 2010. Hello? What's it going to be like in 2020? Think about the companies that started in 2006, right, and how it's going now. Think about Facebook. Think about Twitter. We've heard a lot about Twitter today, right? So 6-7 years ago, the way our world looked versus 6 to 7 years in the future, it's moving so fast, if you don't get engaged and stay up on it, it will leave you behind. It will leave you behind. And Austin's such a great city to experience it. And again, this is the first city in the nation where we're going to be bringing this sort of high bandwidth. And it's because of the people that live here and the culture that exists and the opportunity to work together with folks like are here in this room to innovate and come up with amazing new products and services. Okay? So that's a little bit about me. 18 years. 10th move, being mobile has been really important for me personally. Now, that's a choice that you each have to make on whether you want to move for a job. Everybody has a right to say no. It's just a mathematical equation. There's more jobs if you can move, right? So you're like, what's React? Tell us what React is. When I first got down to the South Texas team, I was like, these guys, they don't know me from Adam. What are some leadership characteristics that I think are really important so that as we start to interact, I can explain a little bit about the things that I think are really important as from being a leader, okay? The R. And I like acronyms because it helps me remember. Again, I'm an Aggie. I got to keep things simple. The R is for relationships. Relationships. So as I just took you through that history, relationships, right, were really important. The people that I met, the people that helped me, you heard in the general session talk about sponsors, right, versus mentors. I thought that was really, really important. Relationships. And it's not about good old boy. There's some of that exists today. But it's about showing up every day, delivering great results in a way that creates fans. That's the way I like to describe it. Because you know people that deliver great results, and they go barreling past everyone because they're going to get to the number. They're going to get to the number no matter what, and they leave a bunch of hurt feelings on the side of the road, okay? Relationships. Show up every day, deliver great results in a way that creates fans. Because when it's your time, whether it's you're starting your own job and you need financing, or it's time for you to get the promotion, and everyone's sitting around the table, and your name comes up, you never want them to go, well, right? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. You want them to be like, you got to hire her so fast, you got to get on the phone and offer her more money. Right. That's what you want. Right. And that's what happens when you build really strong relationships with people. And it's not just about the people above you. Duh, it's so important. You know people that just suck up? They suck up, right? And it's like, God, it just drives me freaking bananas. Treat everybody right. Treat everybody like they're the CEO. And that'll help you build really strong relationships. Let's try something real quick. If you have somebody next to you, I want you to sit next to them. Okay, you can stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Find a partner. All right. Now I want you to put your hands palm to palm. Palm to palm. Okay? Palm to palm. Now. The person with the shortest hair, push.
How far?
Okay, stop. Okay, sit down. Now, what happened? What happened when the short-haired person pushed? They pushed back. The other person pushed back. Isn't that so weird? Why do we do that?
It's a reaction.
It's a reaction. You put somebody and you start pushing them and you put them into a corner, they're going to push back. They're going to push back, just like animals do. Not that we're all animals. Well, sort of we are. They push back, right? So be cognizant of that in your relationship building and don't push on people. Don't push. Now, it's fair to do it sometimes. This team knows. I push on them, but I do it in a way that's very fair, right? And we always talk about the whys. Whys are so important. If you're going to do something, just tell me why. Don't tell me just because. Tell me why. I want to know the why, okay? So relationships, really, really important. E, enthusiasm. I have it like oozing out of my every part of myself. I can't help it, okay? But I'll tell you. Yeah, so, right? If I could figure out how to bottle it, I wouldn't. In fact, I've been told that several times. Enthusiasm, right? How do you feel the day before you're going on vacation? Awesome, right? You make a list. You're like going through the list like crazy. I'm like, I got 100 things, man. Normally I only do 50 things. Today I'm doing 100. It's only 4 o'clock. I'm at 110. Woo! I'm going tonight, right? The way you attack your day the day before vacation is different most of the time for most people than how you attack other days, right? You attack it enthusiastically. When somebody shows up, you go into whatever store you want to go into, and they're like, good morning. So glad you're here. Does it make you want to buy stuff? No, it doesn't. But when you show up somewhere and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. We have a great special today, or we have a great new clothes, whatever, right? Enthusiasm can make a difference in the way people react to you and the way people either want to help you or buy stuff from you, okay? A, accountability. Accountability. Ritz-Carlton does this in a very amazing way. No matter what your role is in the company, let's say you're the housekeeper, you're accountable for solving customer problems. Housekeeper shows up at something like this. Let's say the music doesn't work. We can't figure out how to make it work. That housekeeper will go find somebody and make sure. She's not going to fix the technicality problem, but she's going to find somebody that will. Okay? They make their people accountable. At AT&T, ours is, I can help you with that. We're a really big company, and if you get caught in the swirl that is wireline versus wireless versus whatever, God bless you. So we have to change that. We're going to be accountable for helping people regardless of what department, just like the Ritz-Carlton does. Be accountable for your results, for your customers, for your team. Really important. C, commitment. Commitment. We are going to make and keep our commitments to each other, to our customers, to the team. Commitments is so important. If somebody asks you at work to deliver something, whatever that might be, a number, a project, whatever, and you can't do it, tell the truth. I don't think I can do that, but here's what I can do, and by when, right? You're just not saying no and throwing up your hands. Here's what I can do and when, because if you make a commitment, damn it, you keep it, because all of those things together is the T. They all build trust. If you haven't read the book, The Speed of Trust, I encourage you to. It's really good. I believe in it. Things move faster when people trust you, okay? It just is true. How do you feel when you're going into a meeting with somebody that you don't trust? Sucks, right? It does. Oh, God. It totally sucks. You're like coming up with all the reasons. What's he going to say? What's she going to say? What am I going to say back? How am I going to avoid doing whatever it is they asked me to do because they suck and I don't want to do it because I don't trust them? It happens. True, right? Versus when you trust somebody, you're like, woo, can't wait to get in there. We're going to do some amazing things, right? There are people that I trust that are, you know, we'll call them sponsors, higher level folks. They could call me and say, Donna, I need you to fly to South Africa today, and I need you to pick up a 2x4 from this village, and I need you to fly back and bring it to me by tomorrow. And I can't tell you why. No problem. I'm on it. Because we have trust. There's trust there, right? I don't know that any of my team members sitting here would do that for me. No, I'm just kidding. I think you would, right? There's trust, right? Does it make, we'll just ask them a direct question.
They wanted to be here.
That's right. They wanted to be here. We'll put them on the hot seat. Amanda, so if I told you I need you to do X, Y, Z, you know, by tomorrow, it's going to mean you're not going to see your family for the next 24 hours, and I can't tell you why I need you to do it, and in fact, you might be in a little bit of danger. Would you do it? She would do it. She would do it. That's great, right? I love them. Okay. So, yeah. All right, I'm being a little dramatic to make the point, right? But it's so important to build trust. And so it goes back to showing up every day and creating, doing your work, delivering great results in a way that creates fans. Okay? So that's the React message, right? Very leadership oriented. Now let me share with you, how are we doing on time? Okay? So hot in here. Totally sweating. So jazzercising, because I want to make sure and leave time for questions, because I promised that we would do that. All right. These are my little scratch sheets, okay? This book is a promise book that we have at AT&T about how we're going to treat people. And in it, I have thousands of signatures from employees and store managers that I've had the true blessed opportunity to interact with. And I will, if I ever lose that book, I swear I'll have a heart attack. If I don't have one right now. Okay, so I'm going to fly through some of these because, again, I keep adding to it because I think they're important. And this, some of these people just don't talk about enough. I really don't think people talk about enough. Let's start with one that really people don't talk about. Fishing off the company dock. I don't think you should fish off the company dock. Now, a big company like ours, it's okay to date other people at the company. But don't fish off the company dock with people that work for you. That's what fishing off the company dock means, you know, you're fishing off the company dock. You're building a relationship with somebody that you really shouldn't have. Fishing off the company dock. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Don't get your meat where you get your bread, you know. I don't think why buy the cow when the milk's free applies in this particular topic. But don't fish off the company dock. It creates problems. It just does. I've seen it happen time and time again. And unfortunately, too, when people do it and it's somebody on their team, they have to go work somewhere else because it puts people in an uncomfortable position. For women, I mean, this is just a personal opinion. Things have really changed from even 18, 15 years ago where it's, you know, you hear stories of historical in the past things where men were putting their female employees in very uncomfortable positions. For me personally, I don't see that anymore. I don't see that anymore, and that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. All right, don't cheat or have the appearance of cheating. Now, you're like, that's a basic duh. But the appearance of cheating, I think, is what's really important. If you have that feeling in the pit of your stomach about an expense report item or anything that just is like, well, I don't know. Don't do it. If you question yourself for 1 second, don't do it. It's kind of like the way we dress. If you question yourself for 1 minute about whether it's appropriate to wear or not, don't wear it. I see it happen all the time. I'm like, why is she wearing that? It looks like she's going to the club. I'm sure it looks great at the club, but I don't want to look at it in the office, right? Our customers don't want to look at it. I mean it, right? So whether it's your expense report or whether it's what you wear, if you have a question about it, don't do it. Don't do it. Okay. Be mobile. We talked about that. Back to the trust thing. Don't let trust issues linger. Don't let trust issues linger. If you have a problem with somebody and you have a trust issue, resolve it. In my experience, the best way has been, Gina, I really need to talk to you about something. You remember the other day when you kind of threw me under the bus? I wouldn't say it like that. Remember the other day, you know, it really hurt my feelings. So if we could talk about that, because it's just really bothering me. Just be open about it. Just be direct. You don't have to be mean about it, but express how it made you feel. It really hurt my feelings. And deal with it. And most of the time they'll be like, ooh, right? And they'll never do it to you again. I had a guy do this to me one time. Total, like, a-hole thing to do. I mean, he totally threw me under the bus for something that I was, I mean, he was way out of line. Totally out of line. And I called him on it. I'm like, dude, why'd you do that? That really hurt my feelings. And next time, if you have a problem, why don't you call me? He felt like a total douchebag. And he never did that to me again. In fact, now he doesn't work for the company. So, next one. Don't be scared of tough assignments. Don't be scared of tough assignments. When I got this call recently about this Austin gig, no pun intended, I was scared. But say yes enthusiastically, and then deal with the fear. Because what you don't want to do either is like, well, I don't know, Randall. I don't know. Because then it's going to be like, oh. Right? Maybe that isn't the person that I thought she was. So when you get asked to take those tough assignments, even if you're scared, like push it down. Push it down and say, yes, yes. I'm so excited about that. And by the way, I just had this happen this past week. I offered somebody a job. And yes, enthusiastically. 1 hour later, calls me back. Well, how much are you going to pay me? Oh. I'm like, are you kidding? Are you serious? Really? In 18 years, I've never had that happen. Anyway, so be careful. There are definitely times when we should be prepared to ask for an increase in pay. Choose those times carefully and be careful about how you ask for that. If you guys want to spend time afterwards kind of going through some different scenarios, I'd be happy to do that, because that was not the right time and was not said in the right way, okay?
What did you do?
We had a very direct conversation about how I felt about that. So that's all I have to say about that. Treat everybody right regardless of level. Stay in touch. Stay in touch with people that you meet throughout your career, not just within your own company, but other people that, like, you meet here. So Mel Robbins, I had the opportunity to meet her last night. Totally dig that chick. I think she's cool. I will absolutely stay in touch with her. People that you've met today, stay in touch with them. People that have helped you in your career, stay in touch with them. These folks that are right here, I will stay in touch with them forever, okay? And I expect, it takes a two-way street, by the way, right? You've had friends that are like this. You're, like, always trying to stay in touch, and they never call you back. Don't be that person. Stay in touch. It takes two of you. How you dress. Okay. Social media, like we've heard a lot about social media, don't share too much personal information. I used to have a Facebook page and I deleted it. Because even though I didn't put anything weird out there, the friend requests, again, getting back to not that I was fishing off the company dock, but just friend requests from reps, right? From reps in the call center and everything, it just made me feel weird. Like, this is a personal area. This is a work area, right? So just be really careful, because when you put something out there, it never goes away. It never goes away. I'm quite certain there are several people that we can think of that wish they hadn't put stuff out on the internet, right? So just be careful.
How do you stay up on technology if you don't use the technology?
I don't use Facebook. I've got about 5 tablets.
Okay.
I probably have 7 beautiful HD TVs that I love to play with. I try every new smartphone that comes out. So I'm very into technology, but I'm not on Facebook. Now, I do have a Twitter handle, but I don't use it a whole lot, right? I probably should use Twitter more. That's what I was thinking, because we all learn something in these things.
But it's just as invasive. It can be.
It can be. That's why I'm kind of like, So I haven't decided yet.
No Instagram
up here. So I just think you have to choose. Right? You have to choose how you use it. For me, I started it as a personal site. And it's very hard to transition something into a business site. So for me, if I were going to do something now, I'd probably start, if I own my own business, I would start it purely business, so that you have a very clear separation between personal and business. Once you're personal, it's hard. Okay. Just real quick, let me see if how many of more of these I have. Okay, financial. If your company has a 401k plan and you're not participating in it, shame on you. Shame on you. Because most 401k plans, while very complicated to understand what it really means, just to simplify what it means, is free money. Free money. So like AT&T matches, you can put up to 6% of your salary in. For every dollar, they give you 80 cents. Okay, I happened to look. My 401k plan so far year to date has increased 27%. And I've been putting in for the last 18 years. That was a good day yesterday when I looked. Because I knew I was going to mention it to y'all today. Right? Yeah! It was a good day. It was a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a really bold statement. It is free money. Now, you guys have to always be aware, when you do invest in like a 401k, you can choose which funds to put it in. There is risk, right? So 2009, right? That was scary until very recently. I hadn't looked at my balance. Because when I was out there in Midland, Texas, and I could finally start putting money in, and I was making nothing and living in a little crap apartment, it was tough. But I'm like, I'm going to do at least the 6%, because that's where I'm getting the free money. At least the 6%, right? And every day, I would come in and I would look at it. I highly advise you not to do that. Because there are ups and downs. There are ups and downs, right? That's why in 2009 it was so hard for a lot of people. My mother, who's been working and saving her entire life, sold all of her investments the day before the bottom. Like the one day, and then one more day, and it was like the lowest ever. She sold the one day before. Everything. I could kill the financial advisor that she dealt with. Actually, what I did, I pulled all my money out from him. I'm like, if you're not going to help my mother better than that, you don't get my money. So, anyway, 401ks are great, right? Real estate investment for me has been a really good thing. I bought my first rental house about 10 years ago. It's now paid for, and I get $1,000 a month rental income. That's been a good thing. Not only do I get the rental income, but it's increased in value. I paid about 70 grand for it 10 years ago, and now it's worth about 150.
And where is it at?
Victoria. It's in Victoria. Now. Yeah, it's going crazy. I didn't know that was going to happen. Here's what else I didn't know was going to happen. I didn't know that Hurricane Ike was going to come. When I bought a house in Galveston, smart investment, 3 years before the hurricane hit. That sucked. Because again, I thought this real estate thing's great. I'm gonna buy like 50 of these things. So I thought, I bet you I could do the same thing with beach property. Not. If you ever are thinking about buying a house on the beach that you think you're gonna make money on, call me. I'll give you my card. And I will do everything I can to talk you out of it. People do bad things. This is not a cheap house either. It was like $3,000 a week to rent. Like it sleeps like 18 people. They do horrible things to your personal property that you would never do to. I won't even tell you. Because it would take me an hour, and you'd be like, you're kidding me, that people do that? Yes. Don't ever buy investment properties. Like, do the rental, long-term rental. Short-term vacation property rentals, not so much. Okay, one last point on this, and then we're going to get to some Q&A. I see this a lot, with women especially. How you present, how you speak can make a big difference. I see this happen a lot. I don't know if y'all can see me. I do this. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your legs? Why are you standing like that? Right? They don't even realize they're doing it. They don't even realize that they're doing it. Practice presenting. Practice speaking in front of people. Because it can make a big difference, right? And again, it also will boost people's confidence when you're talking to them. Don't do that. Don't do this, right? Practice in a mirror. Record yourself. You won't believe some of the words that you repeat over and over and over again. Us. Like. Really. You know. All really good examples. Okay. So that's a little bit about React and the leadership message. A little bit about my cheat notes that I carry around with me that I think it's just helpful to be just really honest about. What questions do any of you have? And I have T-shirts. I have t-shirts, so you want to help me? If you ask a question, I've got everything from small to like triple XL. If you ask a question, you get a shirt, all right? So you can tell us what size you want. You have one? Okay. And ask me anything. If I know, I will tell you. If I don't, I will tell you I don't know. What do you think about people that have a lot of empathy for others? I love them. How can you, so the question is, people that have empathy for others, how do you make it work? So if you're the person that has the empathy, do you feel that puts you at a disadvantage for having empathy? Really? That's really unfortunate that you feel that way, or that somebody is making you feel that way. Because when I see people that have empathy for others, I want to hug them. Like, I want to hug you right now. Because that's exactly what we're talking about with our teams. I mean, having empathy for others, right? I mean, not to share too much personal information. I mean, Amanda, she just lost her mom, right? I mean, it breaks your heart, right? Everybody on the team had empathy for what she was going through. That's not a bad thing. I don't know if that's answering your question, but I'm like, I think having empathy for others, it makes me want to hug them and put them in my pocket and take them with me everywhere. And I'm going to put you in my pocket. So let her know what size shirt you want. Okay. Maybe we should use the mic so that everybody can, because y'all hear her question in the back. So if you have a question, why don't you use the mic? That way everybody can benefit from what you're asking. If the mics work. Hopefully the mics work. And don't fall down.
Okay. In the 18 years, what are the top two things you would have done differently?
God, that question's always so hard. It's always so hard. This one I always feel divided about, but I have dedicated myself to this company, literally. And while I still am proud of the choices that I've made to do that, I probably would have backed off a little bit. Like the whole sleeping with your phone next to the bed used to be a pager. I'd look at that thing all night if it would go off to see what outages were happening in the area, as if there was something I could do at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? So I probably should have eased up a little bit on that, not taking myself quite as seriously, because nobody that ended up promoting me gave a damn that I was looking at my pager at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? The other thing I kind of spoke to a little bit about saying yes enthusiastically, the moves, like the Seattle move that I made, where I was like, nope, not going to do it. It all has worked out for me, but I was pretty obstinate about it. It could have gone badly for me. So, and it ended up being one of the best jobs, and I met some of the best people of my life, right? So it all works out. So those would be the two things that immediately come to mind. It's a hard question to answer on the spot, but.
My question is, how can I be a better leader without being more of a mother? Because I find I end up mothering my team, mm-hmm. other than what can I do to get them to kind of want to do what I want them? They want to do what I want, but mm-hmm. I find that I mother more.
Well,
like if I'm sending somebody to go do something, I have a tendency to write down, this is what I want you to do.
Stop doing that. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know what you could do? You could try using questions. So okay. Instead of directing and writing things down, like I think you should do this, this, and this, why don't you change it into an open-ended question,
okay.
right? So that they are then forced to give you feedback. Say, Johnny, what would you do in order to get blah, blah, blah?
Okay.
And then that way it makes you kind of stop doing that.
Okay,
right?
It gives them the opportunity,
which, by the way, they will love. Because most of the time, people don't want to be told what to do.
Right.
They want to give you feedback. They want you to ask. It'll make them feel so good. Their eyeballs will be like, "Wonk!" And they will become more engaged, right? Mm-hmm. And when you get a team that's more engaged, they will deliver better results for you.
Okay.
So try the open-ended question
okay.
thing. You want a shirt?
You retain people in this kind of age, because what we're seeing is people are coming in, and kind of the question that this person was asking you, how much money
mm-hmm.
am I going to make?
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a lot of people, that's you're offering a job, and that's the first question they ask. And you know,
are you talking about people that work for you today, or people that are coming in?
That are coming in, mm-hmm. and basically that are staying very little time to chase the next job to mm-hmm. within 2 months, within 6 months, they're expecting a raise. And I work for the state, and so. Mm-hmm. Those opportunities,
you would think that they would know.
Yeah.
Working for the state, you would think that they would have sort of an expectation about what they're not going to get.
You think so. But I'm seeing more new generation that don't build their careers. Mm-hmm. They're just chasing the dollars.
So when I interview people and when I look at resumes, and I've just gone through looking at a whole bunch of them, I'm very leery of people that, because usually if they're going to do it to you, they've done it very recently over and over and over again. That resume usually comes up and goes to the side. I mean, just perfectly honest, because I know that they're going to do that to me. So that's how I weed them out in the beginning. Now, once they're on your team and they start doing that, hey, good riddance is what I think. I mean, if that's what you're going to do. Because the other thing that happens, and this just drives me crazy, people that are in that position, they want more money or they want the next big thing, they're not focused on their current job. So their performance sucks, right? So go somewhere else. Go somewhere else. So I would just check the resume, make sure. I don't know if I have much better advice for you on that. But then go, let them go somewhere else.
So I'm
so little.
So very tall. I am not currently a leader. I am an individual contributor because I'm trying to figure out everything so I know everything before I try to become one, and I see a huge problem in some of my role models, and it's when somebody can't
see, this is the direct, honest conversation that I love.
When somebody doesn't contribute, they don't do anything about it, and so everyone else is picking up slack, and there's no way, like, there's no good way to motivate them to do it. Or
are you talking about your leader?
No, like peers.
Other peers of yours.
Other individual contributors, and I'm waiting for my leader to say something mm-hmm. to them, like, motivate them. Mm-hmm. Do something. What do they need to be doing when somebody is not pulling their weight?
Well, if you have a good leader, that leader will have a discussion, a one-on-one conversation with that person and say, hey, 95% of the team is stepping up. Step up or step out. I mean, they should be having that conversation because it's not fair to the rest of the team. So I don't know what, I don't think I can give you any advice here other than to say it's a leadership issue. If that's being allowed to happen, it's a leadership issue. I mean, we're hiring. We're hiring. 5 minutes.
Hi. So these questions, I have two questions
okay.
regarding your 10 moves in 10 years.
Okay.
In, or
18 yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I relate a lot to that, but I do kind of want to get your perspective from, like, did you ever had a plan and then do you feel that by moving so much, you kind of like don't have a plan and then you're just going with the flow? I kind of feel like that some ways, mm-hmm. sometimes. And I wonder what it would have been if I stayed in my original path instead of like all this, because I've also moved like 6 times mm-hmm. in the last 7 years. So that's one. And then two, how do you manage all those moves with your personal life? Because mm-hmm. now that I'm married, for example, I think, like, I cannot do that anymore because, mm-hmm. you know, now I have to move my husband with me, too.
Right.
Like, how will that...
Okay, so, first of all, I pretty much have no personal life. It's been one of the things that's been kind of a bummer. Now, that's the pessimistic side of things, right? On the positive side of things, I have friends all over the world. Yeah. Literally all over the world. If I need a place to stay, anywhere, I can usually find a place. That's a great thing, right? Made really, really good friends. So the moves, while personally... It's really hard because after about 2 years, you put down roots, you kind of start nesting, yeah. and you want to stay in your nest, and you rip it apart every 2 years. That's hard personally. It's really, really hard. But there's a positive side of it as well. Now, have I ever felt like all of a sudden because of the moves, I didn't have a plan? No, I've never felt that way. In fact, somebody asked me the other day with this current role, what's next? I have no idea, right? Dawana, who's sitting here, just joined the team here in Austin. She's moving to Austin from Dallas, right? Where I'm like, look, I can't tell you what's going to happen. But I can tell you one thing. We're going to have a damn good time in Austin, and we're going to do amazing things in the city of Austin. Right? Okay. Right? So, no, I never felt that way. Because I don't know whether it's faith or whether it's whatever it is, but I know it's always going to be okay. Even if something happened to my job, I know I'm going to be okay. And part of it goes back to having saved since the time I was 10 or whatever, right? I don't have to work anymore. That's great. I do it because I love it, and I love these people, right? So I hope that answers your question. You can grab a shirt.
Hi, and my question is, what would you advise someone who came into a new situation and because of enthusiasm came in with all these new ideas and didn't realize that the culture there was this is how we've always done it. Mm-hmm. And so now that person is trying to repair because mm-hmm. all their ideas were not necessarily well received.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen that happen so many times. It gets back, my experience with having 30 years of service, right? I'm 23 and everybody had 25 or more years service. And you just can't do that when you enter into a new group. Culturally, you can't do it because, especially if they don't know you, they're already leery of you. Who's the new person? What are they doing? How much are they making, right? And if you go in there guns blazing, like, ah, I'm here and I'm going to save the company. And here's all the great ideas that I have that's going to change the world. You know what? At some point, maybe the ideas would change the world, right? And that's okay. But not the first. You got to wait until you feel it from the others. You got to wait till you're invited to the potluck. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Because if you do it before then, you have the chance of exactly what you described, right? The walls are up, and that individual, whoever that individual is, boy, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Back off. Back off. Start listening, right? Spend time with the people that are in that group in a very sincere way, because that's sincerity is also so important. Because if you go and they start, you know, so, oh, how are your kids? Right, but it's not sincere. Double damage, double walls. Sincerely get to know the people, sincerely listen, and back off. That's what I would tell that person.
Hi, what's the most challenging thing that you've had to face?
Oh my God,
and
you know,
how have you dealt with it?
So, we were in Mel's session today, and we had to turn to each other and say, if you could ask for one thing, what would it be? More time. Time is the most precious resource we all have, which is why getting used to technology and utilizing as best you can without sleeping with your phone and looking at it all night is so important. So time, I don't have enough time. And it drives me crazy. If I could ask for anything and if I could have anything right now, I need more time. I need more time. And that's a pretty hard thing. So the way we're not going to have more hours in a day. It is what it is. But what I try and do, well, first of all, I'm trying to hire some people to help, right? Because you have to delegate. I'm pretty good about delegating. I'm not so needy that I have to hold on to things. So delegate and make sure you're not doing stuff that other people should be doing, right? They need to take care of their own stuff. So sometimes the mothering element, right, makes you want to take on things for others. Or maybe you think you can do it better than they can do it, which is sometimes true, right? But people need to take accountability for their own stuff, because otherwise it takes up your time, which none of us have enough of, okay?
All right. How would you handle this situation? Upper management, your middle management, you have a team. Mm-hmm. Upper management makes a decision that you have to convey to your team, not popular. Mm-hmm. You don't agree with the decision, but you have to present mm-hmm. a unified
yep, yep,
front.
Yep. This is a very, very difficult thing to do. So I recently experienced it because we had to make a change in an organizational structure and we had to let people go. And I was the one that got to tell everybody, even though it wasn't my decision. That sucked, okay? So in here today, I can say, well, that sucked and it was really hard and I didn't want to do it, but I had to do it. Right? So I don't know that this is the right way to do it or how to handle it, but you have to put that part of it outside of your mind. Now, it was a good business decision to do it, So I had to focus on the business decision, and I had to, as best as possible, detach myself from the personal relationships that I had, that I knew where these folks were going to be impacted. So, you know, when the higher level, now, if you don't agree, if you really don't agree, I always encourage people to have that open discussion. And not a bitchy way, but say, can I talk to you about this? I just want to make sure I understand why. Because when you explain the whys to the team, it helps. It helps communicate the message. So I would understand the whys and use that in your communication because it's so important.
Okay. And part two, if you have limited budget to keep a good team, what are other ways besides money mm-hmm. that you can keep them?
Great question. So from an employee engagement perspective, we use this a lot, right? And you have to make it personal. If you relate to the folks individually, personally, and you have to let them know what from an overall company perspective, what they do every day and how it actually is helping deliver to those overall company goals. And the most important thing that I think we do a pretty good job of is to be a little weird and silly, right? It doesn't take a lot of money to motivate a sales team. You can give a bag of candy and call it a grab bag, and for every sale they make, they get to put their hand in there and pull out a piece of candy, and they will like kill themselves to get to put their hand in the bag of candy. Right? But you have to make it a little bit fun. I mean, get your teams together and let them brainstorm about what would make it fun. So one of the things that I do, I make bets. It doesn't take a lot of money. Sometimes they want me to barbecue in front of a store. Well, when we win and we get that first place spot that's on the back of these shirts, we want you to come and barbecue. I'm like, okay. Right? And we have the best damn barbecue going. Right? And they love it. It's so much fun. So come up with creative ideas to do that with the team. It doesn't take a lot of money.
Hello. When you work at a flat organization, I've had the privilege to work at two of them. How do you work with your manager to set up that career path when it's only you, your director, and then executive?
Yeah, boy, that's really hard to do so in that type of organization, and we do this a lot at AT&T too, you don't necessarily have to move up to have a great experience in a lateral, right? So I don't know what company you work at or how many other jobs there are, but if what you want is to have new and different experiences, try a lateral. If there's not a lot of hierarchy, which good for you, because hierarchy sometimes stinks, right? Move to a lateral, or if there's not even lateral positions to move into, ask for some special projects. Something to get yourself to stay in the creative element, right? Because otherwise you're gonna be like the same thing over and over, and your brain starts to check out. You start to check out, right? And that's what you don't want to have happen. So depending on if you're a little bitty company, there's just a few of you, ask for special projects or come up with a special project and ask if you can go make it happen. It'll give you some satisfaction.
Hello.
Hello.
First, I'm an Aggie as well.
Class of?
91.
Whoop. Class of 93.
Very good. Youngin.
2 years? So. 2 years difference and I'm a youngin.
What do you know, yeah. So I'll try to keep this simple for us. Can you talk through some of the language? You talked earlier about trust issues mm-hmm. and specifically mentioned an interaction with a man. Mm-hmm. Can you talk through maybe some language that you've used with perhaps older men mm-hmm. much higher in the company when you've come across these situations where they have thrown you under the bus mm-hmm. or done something else that cause that trust issue to mm-hmm. come up?
So I have two specific, one I already mentioned, the two specific instances. This person was a peer of mine, the first story I told. The second story was with a much higher level person. And he put something in writing that really hurt my feelings. He actually didn't mean it the way he wrote it, mm-hmm. but he copied a whole bunch of people on it. Mm-hmm. And it really bothered me. And I took about a week before I said anything. And then I had a one-on-one conversation with him. It was over the phone, which crying at work is another thing that I think is really bad for women. And I was glad I was on the phone because it actually did make me cry. Yeah. So it hasn't happened too many times at work. But mostly it happens like when I'm really emotionally like involved with a situation or with a person. Like when I had to leave the team, I cried. I totally cried. Yeah. Every job I've changed and I had to leave the team, I totally bawl, right? In this particular case, I was on the phone, and I told him, you really hurt my feelings, and here's what you said that hurt my feelings. And he instantly changed. So I just think it's about being really honest and direct. I don't think there's any magic words. I think it's, you really hurt my feelings.
So you hear a lot, though, that a word like feelings mm-hmm. shouldn't come into a conversation when you're in a business situation.
Yeah, so I think that's crap.
I do too. So you've never had a situation
everyone's
that backfired?
People.
Right, right.
No, it hasn't.
No, I agree.
Completely. Everybody puts their pants on.
Yep.
Everybody's got families. I tell you what, in fact, relating to people's feelings has been one of the best things that I've ever done.
Yep.
And I've done it sincerely, not just BSing, right? So I don't think talking about somebody's, now, I don't think you want to show up at work and go, oh my God, my feelings today, I feel so blue. And I'm like so down in the dumps. Oh, I mean, my feelings were just hurt because my husband or this or that or whoever did this or that. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This has happened 2 times in 18 years for me
yeah.
when I've had to say, you really hurt my feelings. 2 times in 18 years. Otherwise, it's, you know, maybe you don't, those were really, they really did hurt my feelings. So it was very specific, and those words really mattered to me.
Sure.
But otherwise, it could be, can we talk about what happened on the meeting on Wednesday? Because I just want to get some feedback. That's another way to say it.
Yeah,
I want to get okay. some feedback yeah. because you reacted to me in a way that da-da-da-da-da, you told me da-da-da-da-da, and so I just want to get some feedback from you on, you know, or some perspective. Can you give me some perspective on that interaction? You can do it like, I've done that too.
Yep.
Right? And
That's
usually they'll be like,
my go-to.
Huh? Right? And you'll get really good feedback. So I hope that helps.
Oh, no,
I don't
it
want. I'm not a gushy person.
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody leaving here going, I'm going to go into work and talk about my feelings. Right? I've done it twice in 18 years. Otherwise, I'm very direct. Right?
Right, right.
In case you haven't picked up on that.
No, it's the last thing you said is typically
okay.
my go-to as well.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to hear one of your examples being that you actually said the word
yes.
feelings. And
I don't think there's anything wrong
man,
with that.
So. Very good. Thank
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of touched on a little bit about your project here in Austin, and I'm very interested in that, and I want to know how I can be either a beta tester or how I can get involved in that.
So why don't you write down, give me a card or write down your information, and we'll see if we can get, okay.
Because I'm very techie.
We love techie. I love techies.
Okay, this is probably kind of a two-part question, but this deals with your team that is not located together.
Mm-hmm.
They are sometimes as much as 200-400 miles apart. They only have the chance to see each other maybe once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice on that? Thoughts? I'm a manager. That's my team.
Mm-hmm.
I've handled it with taking advantage of any opportunity to keep us communication.
Mm-hmm.
I do have the opportunity to see some of them more frequently.
How many of them are there?
There's 10.
10 of them. So there's a I don't know if you've explored software solutions for this. There's a software called Jabber. We're just now starting to use it, and it's a great teleconferencing type interaction where people can see each other. So the big daddy solution is called Telepresence. Has anybody been in a Telepresence? Cisco makes it. It's amazing. It's like the people are there. So if you're in a smaller company, it's probably not going to be.
It's for the state, and the managers, I'm a manager, the people above, they have taken advantage of the phone calls,
mm-hmm.
conferencing, and teleconferencing, webinars, some of that
mm-hmm.
has come into play, but it's mainly those that, it's our field workers,
yeah.
trying to keep them engaged, and they don't get a lot of support, because they are by themselves.
Yeah,
so,
try and use things
like
Skype,
yeah,
or FaceTime them. I mean, we've
okay.
done some of that too,
okay.
but, and check into Jabber. It's brand new, and so I'm starting to play with it, but
okay.
look into software solutions because seeing someone's face can make a big difference, but things like Skype and FaceTime could be a good solution for a one-on-one conversation. It's when you get into larger groups that are in different areas and different locations where it becomes a little bit more challenging from a conferencing, a video conferencing perspective.
I get out and try to get in these areas as much as I can, but you're limited.
The other thing, and, you know, we all get cut about expenses and everything, but get those peeps together at least once a year, at least once a year, and stay in a cheap-ass hotel and eat sandwiches, but they will love you for it.
Well, that's
they
what
will
we
love
do.
You for it.
That's basically what we have to do. I
yeah.
work for the state, too. So
yeah.
You
yeah. Yeah, check out the video conferencing solutions.
Thank you so much for the passionate session. My question is, what's your advice to find good career sponsors that you can trust?
So I think there's different ways. Most of the time, for me personally, I've watched people, and you know whether you want to be like them or not, or whether you want to learn from them or not. And the people that I want to learn from, I make sure I work in their organization, I work with them, I talk to them, I have a conversation with them, I reach out to them, right? People that I don't, not so much, right? So I think it's really important that you, now, and I've never gone, hey, Brian, would you be my sponsor? What an awkward conversation, right? It happens naturally. It happens naturally when there's somebody that you respect and when you show up every day and deliver great results in a way that creates fans. Because they'll notice you. You're noticing them, they're noticing you. It's like a relationship, right? It's like you're dating almost, except you're not fishing off the company dock. Right? So you naturally come together because it just happens. So I don't think there's a plan that says, well, first you set up a meeting, and then you have a 30-minute conference call, and then you make sure you write down the to-dos and what you're going to do after 6 months and what kind of presentation you're going to come back with. It's not like that, right? It's a natural relationship based on somebody that you like and somebody who sees the great results that you're delivering, and then it happens naturally.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to ask, what types of characteristics do you see in people who might transition from sort of the nonprofit state world to the private sector? If you've hired people that come from, you know, totally different sort of world and then they come into this high-tech, you know, private sector world, those people who have been successful, what kind of characteristics do you see in them, or do you have any experience?
I'm trying to think of, I don't know if I can think of anyone specifically that I've hired from a nonprofit. I work with a lot of nonprofit folks. Because we do a lot of work, right, in the communities. There's not a specific, I mean, I've met folks that work in nonprofit that are highly technically oriented, really smart financial peeps, really highly engaged, and that I would have on my team tomorrow, right? And I've met people that, not so much, right? I mean, they really, they want to be out and about, and they don't want to get on a call, and they don't want to have a meeting, right? But that's very small. So I can't think of a specific person that I've hired, but a lot of the people that I interact with at nonprofits, they're awesome. And they're so passionate about what they do because they work for a nonprofit that if they come to work, like at a company like AT&T, that passion exists, right? It just then might exist in a different way. It might be about products and services versus, you know, whatever organization they're trying to help. So we probably have time. Oh, we're way over, aren't we? So can we do two more? Two more.
Another state employee. When you have worked years with your coworkers in a state job, and all of a sudden you become their boss, you step up into that supervisor position where you've built a good rapport, you think, with them, but how do you make that transition smoothly to be able to be a successful supervisor over them, to separate, because you're not really one of them anymore, but you don't want to put yourself at that level. You still want to be where you were talking about.
Ooh, it's really hard. It's really hard. It goes back to, it's just like being a new member of a team, where you're going to come in and listen, right? You can't come in the first day that you're the boss after being a peer, start giving them things to do in a really nasty, mean way. Not that you would do that because you seem like a very nice person. But I would keep it more team-oriented, and I'd have, okay, guys, this is great. Let's sit down and think about what we're going to do next year. What are the things we want to go attack? And again, let them give you the feedback, because you're not then, you're still the boss, right? But you're not acting like a boss. You've had people that act like a boss. They're like, all right, time to all get together, and here's the agenda for the day, here's what we're going to talk about, and here's the things we're going to do next year, and here's the plan, and here's your targets. Get out. Have a good day. I mean, right? Yeah, exactly. Say, hey, guys, here's some of the things that we've talked about that we wanted to fix. Let's talk about the plan for 2014 and what we're going to do about that now, right? And engage them in the conversation. I don't know if that helps, but that's what I would do.
Yay for state of Texas employees.
No kidding.
There are a lot of them.
Yes.
Hey, so my question to you is, I want to be able to have some really good interview questions so that I can get what I need to, and I can you know, hear and what I need to in order to hire folks. You know that piece. Is there a strategy that you use? Are there certain questions? Is there somewhere to look for questions that would give you certain characteristics or traits that you're looking for in people?
So I have a set of questions that I wrote a long time ago that I use. I'm happy to share it with you. I mean, there's nothing fancy. There's probably tons of questions you can find on the internet. But actually what I, this is just a personal, how I do it. What happens with me, I always have my questions out and ready to ask them, and I never end up asking any of them. Because I ask the first question, and I feed off the answer, and I go from there, and I go down this whole complete path that I never thought I was going to go down, right? So that's how I do it. And I do a lot based on feel. Like, you know, I can tell, and I'm a visual person, so however you're interacting with me when I'm asking you a question, it happened last, I'll give you another story from last week. I'm interviewing somebody, right? I've been really busy. I'm interviewing for some, but I need some help, I need to delegate. I'm interviewing somebody, right? And I'm a little bit like this all the time, okay? And the answers back were, well, the first thing that I would do is contact the city, and we probably need to figure out where you should. I was done. Done. I let her go for like 30 minutes, which I was about to die. And finally, after 30 minutes, I'm like, I got to stop you. Because you and I, together, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And I don't even know what she was saying. Because after like the first few minutes, like I checked out because I was like, oh my God, the world is crashing around me. I have all these things on you. I'm so busy. Right? So anyway, that's what happens for me. It's not like I'm going to get through all my questions. It's not going to happen. I get a feeling, something said, whatever, and I'm like either going to keep going and digging deeper and peel back the onion another layer, or I'm done, right? In this particular case, I was done. I can't even believe I lasted 30 minutes. Like, you and I'll kill you. Yeah, okay, cool. All right, guys, thank you for the interaction. Thank you for coming.